Hallelujah. Come on, anyone excited to be in church this morning? Oh, come on. Now, I said, is anyone excited to be in church this morning? Amen. I like the way Pastor Aaron Hankins says it. Do I got an amen corner anywhere in the room? Oh, come on. I said, do I got an amen corner anywhere in the room? Come on now. Y'all can give me some feedback, a little amen. Preach, brother. That's good. Keep going, all right? I like that. But man, this is a very, very special morning, and I'll be remiss to not give honor where honor is beyond due. And first of all, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, man, my wonderful, very young grandparents. I think Mrs. Hagen is now 60. Come on now. Hallelujah. And man, you guys are the true definition of walking it out. And not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And I've grown up and I've seen some of the tough decisions you guys have had to make, and the hours that are spent that no one sees. And man, to have y'all as our pastors is an absolute blessing. And it's been an honor to grow up in the family. And I'll be honest, I get my grit and my fire from my grandpa, okay? And if you go back and listen to him when he was younger and preaching, we kind of sound similar. His voice was really high, though. I'm like, Poppy, that was you? Like, what? Come on, this ain't no 8-second ride. Come on, Baton of Revival. Whew, Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for you guys. I love y'all. And then my parents, Pastor Denise and Don, come on, y'all give it up for them. Man. Man, just, you know, I wouldn't be here today without y'all, but I wouldn't be the man I am today without y'all. And, man, you guys have been the best parents I could ask for, but not someone who just always tells me that I'm okay and I'm doing good, but someone who pushes me to be better. Someone who calls me out when I'm not doing the right thing. Someone who calls me and puts me back into alignment. And man, to have y'all as parents is an absolute blessing. And I got my brother and his fiance in the room this morning. He's probably mad I out shouted him out, but come on, come on. They're getting married here in a couple weeks. So come on, somebody. I'm next. Uh-huh. Come on, but then we got Moises. Come on, I couldn't do what I do without Moises Bello. He is my wonderful coworker. Love that man of God. But today is a big day. Someone say amen. Come on, it's back to school Sunday. All right, and some of you are really happy to go back to school. Some of you are really mad to go back to school. You know, and some of you have started, some of you are about to start, and then some of you are homeschooled, and you're like, I do school when I want. You know, that's cool. I'm happy for you. But, you know, I believe this morning, man, as I was praying, as I was asked to bring the word, I began to reflect on what the Lord wanted me to preach. And, you know, a lot of back-to-school Sundays, man, we got some great sermons, and this is catered for the youth. But, man, I believe that as I was praying into this, come on, it's not just for the youth this morning. It's for everyone in here. And so here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that you just get on the edge of your seat, that you just press in, because I believe God has a word for you this morning. I said, I believe God has a word for you this morning. And what you're expecting, come on, I believe God is going to get to you. He's going to get through you, and he's going to exceed it. Amen? Amen. I believe, come on, I got my loafers on this morning. Come on, somebody. $50 at H&M. Shoo! Clearance. That's what I'm talking about. 70%. No, I don't think it was 70. It was like 50% off, though. But I'm wearing my loafers, and I'm going to be honest, they hurt because they're a half size small. So I think I'm already getting some blisters, but you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for healing. But I believe we got some kingdom business to handle this morning. Come on. So as I was looking at my shoes, I'm like, yeah, we're putting on the loafers this morning. I got my slacks on this morning. Come on, I got a fresh white t-shirt. Come on, somebody. We got some kingdom business to handle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say those aren't slacks. They are. All right, that's cool. You know what? Talk back to me if you want. And you know, some of you, you guys are, you're walking into to a new school year. And parents, you're getting back into the routine. You know, teachers are getting back into the classrooms and everything is kind of shifting again. You know, the summer time is over. I know that it hurts to hear, but everyone is coming back and we're getting into this routine. But I believe that this morning, like I said, is bigger than just going back to school. And this is what I believe that God is saying to this whole church, to everyone in here. And it's the title of my sermon. And they already got it up there. Wow, thank you guys. It's a new day. It's a new day. So get up. It's a new day. So get up. And a new day means, here's what it means. It means that there's another opportunity in front of you. You know, there's going to be new people that you're going to meet in this school year. There are new doors that will be open. Some new moments that God is going to place you in front of. But here's what I've been thinking about as I was preparing for this sermon. Is a new day can come and you can still be stuck in yesterday. A new day can come and you can still be stuck in yesterday. You know, the sun can come up, but you got the curtains closed. Come on, you got those blackout curtains. Come on, somebody. Come on, it's noon and you're like, I thought it was 5 a.m. I got blackout curtains too. I ain't judging you. Come on. But a new day can come and you can still be stuck in yesterday. The sun can come up and you can still be stuck in yesterday. And God can be trying to move you forward, but you're still holding on to what happened yesterday. Come on, that could be good or bad. Come on, someone hurt you in the last season that you were in and now you're not able to walk into the new season because you're still looking at the old. But you get attached to a certain season that you really love, but then God calls you out of your comfort zone and now you're not willing to walk into the new. And I believe that you can always, I mean, we're physically in the new day. When the sun comes up, you're here, but mentally you could be in a different place. Come on, some of you are here in a new day in church sitting down and you're physically here, but mentally you're not here. How do I know this? Because I was that person. Come on, somebody, I'm about to get real. Come on, it's time that we just stop playing church. And I know you're like, but he's young. I'm telling you what, I got a fire, God, that will never burn out. It'll never run out. Come on, I believe that this young generation has a fire that y'all need, but we need y'all's wisdom. So here's what we got to do. We got to come together. And I believe it's a new day for Rhema. Come on, I believe God is doing some things. Come on, I believe that God is in the room. God is all has his hand over this. And some new things are about to happen. And so here's what God is saying this morning. Get ready. Get ready. Because we get so comfortable. We come in and we sit in our nice, comfortable pew. And maybe some of y'all had your Starbucks this morning. I can tell the ones who didn't. And, you know, but you come in here, man, we worship, we get our three songs. Come on, we got our offering. We got a sermon. You maybe say hi and then you walk out. But here's the danger of that. Here's the danger of that. Is you never allow God to really move. What do I mean by that? Because you're not here on the edge of your seat saying, God, I'm expecting you to move in this service. Saying, God, this isn't just a normal Sunday morning. I'm telling you this ain't no normal Sunday morning. When we really walk into this room and we're saying, God, I'm expecting you to show up here. I'm expecting you to move. God, I need this. I'm expecting you to move. And I'm pressing in. And that's why I was going to come up and have, you know, tell y'all to invite y'all down front. But Pastor Denise, I said, you do it. But sometimes it just takes a step of faith. Just saying, God, I'm available. God, whatever you want to do, do in my life. God, whatever you want to do, come on. What if God wanted to give you every answer you've been looking for, but you're too tired to receive it this morning? Come on, what if God wanted to change the course of your life? What if he wanted to enter you into a new season, but you didn't come in expecting that, so you don't get it? And here's the danger. We become comfortable, and I want you to hear my heart. Hear my heart, I'm not just coming and I'm convicting you this morning. Because I believe that every sermon a pastor preaches, they should also be able to receive. So I'm also preaching to myself, but we've become comfortable with just coming in and just doing church. And I believe that God is saying this morning, it's a new day. It's a new day. Come on, you can walk into a new school year, look at this, carrying the same fear, carrying the same insecurity, the same hurts, the same anxiety, the same need for everyone's approval around you. And I believe what God is saying this morning is, I have more for you than that. So students, this isn't just another year to survive. It's a new day. It's a new day. And here's what I want you to really get out of this, is there is an assignment attached to the season of your life. Come on, you're not just going to school. You're walking onto your mission field. I wish I could get a bigger amen. I said, you're not just going to school. You're walking onto your mission field. Come on, you're not just there to learn. Yes, that's very important. Don't mishear me. But come on, you should walk in and say, God, I'm praying for an opportunity to share the gospel today. God, I'm praying for an opportunity to just be a light to someone, to plant some seeds this morning, to plant some seeds this school year. And you know, there are people that you're going to meet who need what God has placed on the inside of you. There are moments that may seem small to you, but come on, it could change the course of someone's life. How do I know this? I'll tell you a testimony. Lord, it is already 10:57. Let me tell you, my grandpa always says he can preach more in 30 minutes than anyone can. And I believe that. Come on, 30 minutes, he's in and out. But for me, whew, I may go an hour, but you know, I'm going to respect the house, so we got a place to get. But I'm going to tell you a testimony. How do I know that even a moment that seems small could change the course of someone's life? I was preaching. I'm not going to say where, just, you know, for this person in case they're watching. But I was preaching in a place, and I was doing a youth conference. And, you know, I was traveling with my buddy. I never liked to travel alone. And, man, it was awesome. It was a really cool place. Never been to this state before. And the first morning, come on, I hit it hard, Luke 15. Come on, parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And I'm preaching, man, and I'm giving it all I got. I'm sweating. I got a hoodie on. And you could hear an absolute pin drop in the room. And I'm like, man. And not that response means that it's anointed, but sometimes it helps pull on the gift. Come on, if I were to have a gift in my hands, what do you got to do to get it? Come on, you got to take it out. That's another sermon. But hear me, I was preaching, and I'm like, man, this is good. I'm hitting it. But I could hear a pin drop in the room. And so I get off the stage, and maybe some of my ministers can understand where I'm at, but I'm like, God, did I miss it? God, did I not give out what you wanted me to give out? And I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I'm kind of like, man. And the next day, I walk in, and there's this girl. I don't know, maybe she's 15. We'll call 14, 15, somewhere around there. And she hands me a note. And I'm like, hey, I don't do notes, you know. Like, can you just give it to your leader? I'm sorry, I just, you know. And she's like, no, I really want you to read this. Please, last night changed my life. And I'm like, okay, give it to my friend. He'll read it first. You know, I'm just trying to protect myself, and I've gotten some notes before. All right. Smile. And so he was like, Wes, now you need to read this. And so I read the note, and I'm going to sum it up for time's sake. But man, this little girl had gone through some terrible, terrible things. Her dad left her. Her mom had died. Come on, she'd been dealing with a ton of things within her family, some people who haven't treated her correctly. And she had gotten to the point where she told me that she really wanted to kill herself. And throughout the note, she was really talking about, like, Wes, I had planned it out. This is what I was going to do. But the God that you talked about loves me. And I've never seen it like this, Wes, but you had a fire on the inside of you that was almost like tangible, like I could see it. And the God that you talked about, he's not mad at me. He's not mad at my past, but he's just inviting me to come back home. And that girl made a decision to rededicate her life and to go all in for Jesus. And man, I'm telling you what, I got off that stage. It was a small moment. I thought I had missed it. But even for the one, come on, he leaves the 99 for the one. Come on, even if it's just for one person in this room, come on, I'm here this morning. I had no voice 2 days ago. I didn't talk for a day and a half, basically. My mom's calling me, I'm like, because I'm preaching my heart out in Oregon because I believe that I'll see this generation saved. Come on, and I believe that it's time that we get up. And this is why I'm passionate about not just coming to church and just playing church and just having church, but we come in and we expect something. Why do we expect something? So we can go out and give something. I better get back to my notes. What am I trying to say? Whenever God sends you somewhere, he doesn't send you there for no reason. He gives you an assignment. And I believe that there is an assignment, students, attached to this place that God is sending you. Come on, when you send something in the mail, what do you got to put on it? You got to put a name, an address, something, right? And you give it, you put it, drop it off, give it to the mail people, and they send it out. What does that do? I'm giving an assignment to those people. And they got to deliver it to the name or the address that's on that envelope or on that gift. Come on, and I believe that we got some mailmen and mailwomen in the house this morning. And God has given you something. God has placed something in your hands. And he's saying it's your job to deliver that gift. And I got an assignment. I got a place that you need to go. And so it's time we wake up. And it's time that we get up in this new day. Come on, we don't just roll around and turn that alarm clock on. But we stand up in the things of God. Come on, and things begin to happen. I said things begin to shift. Come on, we walk in here and people get healed. Come on, I believe it's time we start seeing miracles from the Bible. Come on, why are we not seeing blind eyes open? Why are we not seeing legs grow? Why? Because we're not expecting it. It's a new day. It's time to wake up. My first point. Y'all are like, man, he's the first point. My first point, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's 11:03. Okay. My first point, stop sitting in a place God has already made a way out of. Stop sitting in a place God has already made a way out of. And we're going to be in 2 Kings, verses 7, 3 through 9. And I like to teach a little bit more of the expository style and kind of really run through. So we're going to get fed this morning. We're going to read the word this morning. Come on, who's got a physical Bible? Hold it up. Come on, who's got a notebook? Hold it up. Come on, the note taker's getting to heaven first. Come on, you got to bring a notebook. And so to really understand where we're opening to, you got to understand this, that Samaria is under siege here, okay? And so what has happened is the enemy has surrounded this city. And there's nothing coming in, and there's nobody coming out. Okay, there's no food. There's no hope. The people inside these walls, that look at this, they've accepted that death is inevitable. That's important. They've accepted that death is inevitable and that death is coming. And so here's what we see. We see that there are four lepers sitting outside this gate. Okay, they're rejected by society because of their condition. And so they can't go inside, but they don't belong with the enemy. And so here's where they're at. They're kind of stuck in between two places that look like death. Okay, inside the walls is famine, but the other way is the enemy. And so they're kind of stuck in this middle season. I believe, man, I believe this is where a lot of us are at spiritually. It's where a lot of us at in our life is we're kind of stuck in this middle season. We're kind of like, man, we're better than where we used to be, but we're not fully stepping into what God has called us to do. And I believe that, man, we see one side and it looks like death, and we see another side and it looks like fear. And so I believe that some of us are just kind of sitting in this place. You know, but here's the thing. Whenever we sit in that place, here's what you do. You become comfortable with it, so you sit in the fear. You sit in the anxiety. You sit in the disappointment, the insecurity, what happened last year. Come on, you wait for the confidence to come. You wait for the fear to leave. Come on, you wait for the whole plan. You wait for everything to make sense. But then these men ask a question that sparks this whole story. They say, why are we sitting here until we die? And let's read it. I'm going to read the verse and we kind of going to break it down. So 2 Kings 7 verses 3 through 9, I believe. 3 through 9. Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. Verse 6, for the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sounds of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. So what do? They fled in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. Verse 8, and when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. They came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Verse 9, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. And I can read the whole story, but we don't got time for that. But here's where we're at. They're like, man, if we sit here, we're going to die. And so they're like, why don't we just get up and at least try? Because we're going to die anyways. And so here's what sometimes has to happen. Sometimes the first thing God has to do is make you uncomfortable with the place you become comfortable sitting in. Because you can sit in something so long and you don't even realize the place you're sitting in is actually killing you. And so sometimes God has to make us uncomfortable with the place we become comfortable in. For example, I know this is kind of like, man, he took it up 10 notches, but the only thing I could think about, carbon monoxide. It's dangerous because why? You can't see it. And you could be in the comfort of your own home. Come on, you're kicked up on the couch. Come on, you got maybe got some popcorn, you got some fresh baked cookies in the oven, and you're in the comfort of your own home. You become real comfortable. There's no warnings. It doesn't look dangerous, but the carbon monoxide, look at this, it could be replacing the oxygen your body needs. And this is what happens when you sit in comfort. Come on. That comfort becomes a replacement for your convictions. And you get to a place where you're so comfortable that it no longer convicts you. And God has been calling you out of that place, but you're comfortable. And so sometimes God has to make you uncomfortable with the place that you're sitting in so he can get you to look at this, get up and move. And sometimes, come on, we can get so comfortable that we just get used to the fear. We just get used to the disappointment. Come on, we start saying things like, well, that's just always how it'll be. Or that's just how I always will be. That's just how I am. Come on, that statement has no faith in it. And there has to come a moment where I'm not going to be this way anymore. Come on, I don't like doing these things anymore, and I can't stay in this place anymore. And there has to be a moment where there's someone that just says, I'm willing to stand up, I'm willing to get up, and I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go forth. Come on, even if it's a place that looks like death, come on, my God shall protect me. Come on, my God shall be all around me, and I'm going to go. And there has to come a moment, man, I've been thinking about this. There has to come a moment where we got to start getting on offense. What do I mean? I played football my whole life. Got a state championship ring, and, you know, I played offense and defense. And I think the problem is this. I think the problem is so many people today are just playing defense against the devil. Because when you're on defense, get this, when you're on defense, all you're trying to do is just maintain. You just want to stop them. You're not looking to score. Sometimes you do score on the defensive end, but that's not your main goal. Your main goal is to just stop them where they're at. And if they push you back, it's okay, let's stop them here. And if they push you back, let's stop them here. But when you get on offense, come on, you make a play call that says, I'm going to the end zone. Come on, I don't want to be stopped. Come on, why would God give us armor? Just to put it on and look cool and it's shiny? No. Because when the devil attacks, come on somebody, when the devil attacks, I got a breastplate of righteousness. Come on, I got a sword of the spirit. I got a belt of truth. Come on, I got shoes of peace. Come on, I got a helmet of salvation. And I'm saying, Mr. Devil, when you run up in my house, I'm ready to go to war. So when you come at me, don't be expecting to beat me down because I'm coming at you. Come on somebody, I said, it's time we get up. It's time we wake up. It's time we put on our armor and we go to war. Come on, the devil starts attacking your family. Come on, somebody, you better stand up and say, not today, Mr. Devil. Not my family, not my church, not my household. Come on, your friend, your brother that's strung out on addiction. Come on, Mr. Devil, I'm going to war with you. That's not your territory. Get your hands off him. And it's time we start standing up and we stop just playing defense, but we realize the authority we have as a believer. Come on. And we start running after the things of God. And when the devil comes in my way, come on, I got a shield of faith and I'm blocking every fiery arrow and every scheme and the enemy tries to throw at me. Come on, I can see it because look at this. I'm looking out for those things. It's time we start standing up. And I hope this morning, come on, you don't just remember a 22-year-old that's yelling at you, but you really get something and it really changes something in your life. Because if you're not walking out of here changed, you missed the whole point. It was not to put on a cute outfit to look good for that dude. It was not to come in here and suit up so you can feel good about yourself. But it was to have a life change here this morning. And I can see it. Some of y'all, you're like, man, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's just a young kid. Man, you know what? Come on, it's time we get passionate about the things of God. It's time we start getting our zeal back. It's time we start getting our fire back. Come on, there was a reason that Brother Hagin started having Holy Ghost services. Come on, y'all ain't ready for that. Here we go. Here we go. I want you to notice this about these four lepers. They didn't just suddenly like get a whole plan. Like, yo, this is exactly what we're going to do. You go there. You go here. No, what did they do? They stood up and they began to walk. They didn't get a prophecy. Someone didn't give them a word. Man, I feel like they stood up. They had faith in God and they went. And I'm telling you what, sometimes, come on, you just got to stand up. You got to stand on the promises of God because I know that they're yes and amen. And you got to stand on your faith and you got to just go. They simply realized this, that death was guaranteed if they stayed. And I believe that that's where faith begins. Faith is not always knowing what's ahead, but sometimes faith is knowing that where you're staying is no longer an option. You got to get up and you got to move. Because if God starts moving, come on somebody, I want to start moving with him. I want to start moving with, when he says to go left, I want to take a left. When he says to get up and walk, I want to get up and walk. When he says, hey, just stay here for this season, I want to stay here for this season. But I think we get so comfortable that we start being like, that's not God. He's not telling me to do that. Some of us are like, God, just tell me every detail. Tell me how it's going to look. Tell me what these people are going to think of me. Tell me how that conversation's going to go. But God is not always going to give you the whole plan while you're sitting down doing nothing. Come on, I want you to catch this. Obedience sometimes puts you in a position where you can only see the blessings of God. Sometimes the reason you haven't seen God move is because you're not in obedience. And so what did these lepers do? They stood up, they got in a position where God could move. And so they began walking. And I don't think I'm going to get to all my points this morning, but it's okay. But I want you to see, it said that they got up, they arose at twilight. Why does that matter? Because twilight is in between night and day. It's not fully dark, but it's not fully light. They got up in the middle. You say that they moved when the old day was ending, but the new day had not fully appeared. And come on, a lot of us, we just want a new day. We want a full sunlight to wait until we start walking, to wait until we get up. We want the clarity before we move. Come on, we want certainty before we move. We want every shadow to be gone before we move. But come on, sometimes God asks us to move while it's still twilight. You can see enough to know that, look at this, you need to move, but not enough to know every detail. You maybe you'll see a few steps in front of you, but not the whole plan. And that is faith. Come on, even when you can't see it, you're standing on the word of God. I want you to get this. Four lepers walked. They walked towards the enemy. Four lepers, outcasts of their people, of their city. They walked out. They didn't see anything around them but four lepers, but the enemy heard hell, or heard an army coming. Hell heard an army coming. Don't miss that, because they in themselves, they saw weakness. They saw weakness. They didn't think they were qualified. These are people who were always told, you're not enough. They were rejected men, but the enemy heard warfare. Come on, someone. The enemy heard something powerful enough to make them run. And to run so fast that they don't get the gold and silver and all the things in their tents, but they start running. And that means when you and yourself don't think that you're qualified, don't think that you got enough, don't think that you have something on the inside of you. Come on, when you just be obedient, heaven will multiply what you got. Come on, God will multiply what you got. And this is why it's important as you go into your schools. Come on, don't think that you don't have something. God has placed something on the inside of you. He has given you something, and it's your job to share it. Because when obedience is in your steps, come on, heaven's got to show up. God's got to show up. But I want you to see this detail. The lepers did not defeat the army. God did. And this is where some of us are. As we see a battle in front of us, we see an opposition in front of us, and we're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And that's the problem. It's not your job. Let God be God, and you just be obedient. Because the lepers could have never killed that army without God. But with God, come on, all things are possible. Because the lepers did not kill the army. They did not make the enemy run, but their obedience put them in a place, look at this, for God to move. You see, they were afraid of a thing that was no longer there. They spent all their time sitting in fear of death when God was already moving. And how many of us are sitting afraid of things that God has already moved out of the way, but we haven't put ourselves in a position of obedience to see it? And so God's been calling you to a new season. He's been calling you to something new, but you're so afraid that you don't even step in a position to realize that God has already made a way. Because I serve a way maker, come on, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Come on, what if the opportunity was already open? What if the door was already open? What if that person was already ready and God is just waiting on us to move? Come on, faith is action motivated. We got to start moving. Come on, I don't know about y'all, but growing up I had these like things you would plug in the hallway so that when you moved, it would light up in the middle of the night. Come on, I can just see God is just waiting on us to move. Like it says in James 4, when you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Come on, some of us, we just got to take a step of faith and just go. In your schools, come on, don't care what anyone thinks about you, but just take a step of faith. Even if it's, you just plant a seed, it says Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gets the increase. And so don't neglect the small things, because my God moves in the small things. Come on, your obedience can walk you into something that your expectation or your imagination could never have seen. But I want you to see this. They take the silver, they take the gold, they take the food, and then they hide it. And they store it away. And then they go back to a different tent. They take the silver, they take the gold, they take the food, and then they hide it. And then someone says, hold on. This is a day of good news. This is a day of good news because look, God has provided a way. There was a city that was back where they came from, that was starving, that was empty, that believed that they were gonna die. But here's what these four lepers realized. Get this, their breakthrough had a responsibility. Their breakthrough had a responsibility, and this is why God gives you an assignment to every season. Because even when you come out of a dark season and God brings you through that, he said, okay, now it's your job to share that. So their breakthrough had a responsibility, and that's what they realized. They had found abundance, but there was an entire city back home starving. And that is what we are as a church. Come on, we have found abundance. We have the good news. We know where the bread is. We know where hope is. We know where freedom is. Come on, we know where forgiveness is. We know where Jesus is. And we can't keep sitting in abundance while there's a generation outside the church that's starving for it. And we can't keep sitting in peace while there's people who are broken and lost and are looking for it. And we got the answer. And so what I want to do this morning, what I want to get out is that you have an assignment. Come on, whenever I was growing up, you know what I honestly believed? I believed that you had to be in fivefold ministry to be in ministry. That is a lie from the enemy. Come on, we need doctors. Come on, we need lawyers. We need real estate agents. Come on, we need business professionals. We need teachers. Come on, we need bus drivers. We need a police officer. I'm telling you what, God will use your season wherever you're at. You don't need a mic to preach. Come on, I'm just one. We got thousands in here. Imagine who you can touch if you were just obedient. I want you to get this. Lord, I'm going to get through like maybe 2 points. Come on, we can't keep the good news inside the camp. This is a day of good news. And this is why it's more important than just a new school year. It's an assignment. You see, those four men, look at this. They had been rejected by the same city they were now called to save. You realize that these four men were rejected by the same city God was now calling them to save. And so even when people count you out, even when people talk behind your back, even when people don't understand it, look at this. What did Jesus have when he saw the crowds? Look at the word, compassion. What did these four lepers have to have? Compassion. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They are looking, they are hungry, they are starving. And sometimes when you are starving, come on, you get a little malicious. And just because someone gets malicious doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. It means that you may be actually assigned to that person to show them the peace of God, to show them the love of God, to show them the joy of the Lord, to show them that they got hope. And look at this, they don't got to be the same person they are. And so these lepers were now called to save a city that had rejected them. What does that mean? God uses the overlooked, God uses the unqualified, and God uses people nobody expected. Why? Because they were willing to get up. They were willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here anymore. Because here's what I believe, man. Time is running out. There's a clock, and it's not going forwards, it's going backwards. And there is an urgency to your obedience. And it's not that you're necessarily walking in sin, but Hebrews 12 tells us to strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Sometimes we only focus on the sin part, but there could be weights in your life that are slowing you down. And they're not getting you to the place that you need to get to in the time that God needs you to get there. And so there's an urgency to move. There's an urgency to act. There's an urgency to tell the good news because Jesus is coming back. Come on, we have, look at the word, an assignment. We can't just come in here and keep it to ourselves and be like, man, that was good. But we get filled up so we can give out. We get filled up so we can give out, and then we go back to the source. We give out and we go back to the source. We give out and we go back to the source. But this isn't even in my notes, and I promise, like, 8 more minutes. All right, 8 more minutes. That's good. I got like a, okay, that's fine. 8 more minutes. Forgive me later. 8 more minutes. But here's the thing. Come on, we gotta do it together. We gotta be unified. Come on, I believe God, he's always been calling for unity, but especially in this hour. Come on, we gotta become unified. One body, one church, one family, one rhema, going together because together we can go farther. And if you'll just pick up your sword of the Spirit and your brother got the shield of faith, come on, you guys can conquer an enemy. All right, my second point. Last point, I guess. Man, this is fun. Stop putting God on snooze. Stop putting God on snooze. You know, I'm going to tell myself, okay? So y'all laugh and then stop laughing. When I was in high school, my mom had to wake me up for school, okay? I couldn't wake up to an alarm. Like, I tried everything. She got me an alarm clock that literally sat on the other side of my room, and it shined a light and had sound, and I still didn't hear it. It was really a problem. And actually, when I went off to college, she was very worried about me. But I made it. Come on. Summa cum laude. Come on, somebody. And she would wake me up, and here's what would happen, okay? I'm going to really walk you through it. Like, this is exactly how it would look. I'm over there in my bed. I'm, you know, and my mom comes in because she gets up at like 4 a.m. I mean, that's weird. You know, who does that? She's all happy, you know, and so she walks in my room. I mean, and she's like, hey, good morning, buddy. It's time to get up. And I'm like, go away. Give me 5 more minutes, mom. 5 more minutes. And you know, the loving, beautiful mother that she is. Okay, I'll come back in 5 minutes. So 5 minutes later, I really like this side. You know, I don't know. I'm sorry, y'all. Maybe I'll go to this side. Okay. And so she comes back 5 minutes later. And this time it's a little bit different. It's like, hey, buddy. Hey, it's time to get up, okay? Mom, 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. And then she's like, okay. And then again, the last time. I want to say it was only 3 times, but maybe sometimes it was like 5 or 6, okay? But for the example, we're going with 3. So she come in. This time it's way different. Hey, Wes, it's time to get up or else you're going to miss school. And she just walk out just like that. And I'm like, come on, like, what? That wasn't nice. Like, there was no, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now get up. I'm like, okay, man. And so maybe it's not my mom for y'all. And maybe it's not a physical alarm clock. But here's the thing. I believe that God sends us alarms in our life to wake us up, to get us to go somewhere. And how many of us have been trying to wake up? God has been trying to wake us up, but we keep putting God on snooze. God says it's time to pray. You say maybe later. Come on, God says it's time to forgive them and you say I'm not ready. God says speak to that person. They need it. They need to hear me and you say maybe someone else will. God says use what I put on the inside of you and you say one day. And so how many times have we asked God for just 5 more minutes of comfort? For 5 more minutes of just sitting in the place that we're in. Why? Because we become comfortable with it. How many times have we asked God to just not get up and move, but just stay where we're at? Five more minutes of being quiet. Five more minutes of having the same attitude. Five more minutes of being halfway in. Five more minutes of not really, really following the call of God. And get this, the danger of the snooze button is not that you stop the alarm. The alarm will sound again. The danger is that every time you press it, you become more comfortable ignoring what was sent to wake you up. The danger of the snooze button is this. Not that it won't sound again, because the alarm will go off, but you become comfortable with what God sent to wake you up. And so we get in this place where we hear an alarm, we snooze it, and maybe we feel bad about the first snooze. And maybe we feel bad about the second snooze, but we keep snoozing it, and we keep snoozing it. And now we become comfortable with the very thing that God has sent to wake us up. And so we take a wrong step, and we don't even realize that God's convicting us, and we don't even realize that we're outside the will of God, and we don't speak to that person, and we don't even feel bad about it. We don't do the things that God is calling us to do. We don't even look at the word, realize it. And you can hear God dealing with you about the same thing over and over until you become comfortable doing nothing about it. And the snooze button, look at this, it gives you an illusion that you responded to the alarm. But all you did was delay the obedience. You think that you responded, but don't confuse hearing with doing. Because we are called to be what? Not just hearers, but doers of the word. And so whenever you put God on snooze, all you are doing is delaying your obedience. And not just your obedience, but you're also delaying someone else's blessing. Because God wants to use you, but you're too prideful and too comfortable to get up. But this morning, here's what I believe. Heaven is sounding an alarm over our church, over our schools, over our generation. And he's saying, it's a new day. And the question is not whether the day has come, but the question is, man, are you going to get up? Are you going to wake up? Are you going to start moving? Are you going to start moving? And come on, I believe somebody. I'm going to go to my fifth point, and I'm just going to talk about it for a second. But God wakes us up because someone else needs you awake. God wakes us up because someone else needs you awake. Here's the problem. We get so selfish in thinking that this is just for us. But God has people that he has assigned to us, and we are supposed to reach them. And someone else needs you to get up. Someone else needs you to get out of your comfort. Someone else needs you to get out of your sin and wake up, because they're hurting and they're dying and they need to hear the truth. And so I believe God is calling some of you this morning to wake up. Come on, it's time we stop being so selfish and realize that God has places he's trying to get us to. Come on, people to witness to. Appreciate that, man. But here's the thing. Come on, it's time that we stop just getting comfortable, just sitting in the room. But we come into a room that we're sitting in and we're expecting to stand up. Why? Because I believe God's going to do something in that service. Man, people are like, oh, should I say this? I don't know. People are like, man, Ramo's lost the anointing. Maybe you aren't coming expecting. What if God wants to do, it's the same God, but what if God wants to do something and he's waiting for us? Jesus, now I'm stepping on toes. I love y'all, okay? I'm talking to myself too, remember? I sit there. But come on, everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. I believe it's a new day. I believe it's time to wake up. I believe it's time to get up. I believe God has more for us as a church. I believe God has more for you as students, as a youth group. I believe God has more for our teachers, for our business professionals, and for everyone in this room. And we all have an assignment attached to the season that we are in. What's so beautiful is we got all the generations in this room. What did I talk about? We must come together. We must do it together. Come on, instead of typing out a Facebook post, why don't we start praying? Come on, instead of judging people, why don't you get on your knees and intercede for them? Why don't you stand in the gap? You see a problem, pray about it instead of just fuss about it. Come on, you see, we got a lack of volunteers. We got a lack in something. Why don't you go serve in that place? I love you, but we are called to do it together. And here's what I want to do. We got to pray for all of our students. Okay, so if you are a kindergarten through 12th grade, I need you to run down here so I don't get in trouble. Please. Y'all realize I could have preached to like 12:15, but maybe more. All right, come on, y'all make a line. I mean, you don't got to make a perfect line, but just come down here. And I want to call our pastor up, Pastor Hagen. Poppy, you want to come up here? Y'all make a way for Pastor right here. Come on, these students are entering a new school year. They're entering a place. Come on, that sometimes can be dark. But here's what I believe. Come on, we're putting the devil on eviction notice that's not his territory and he's got to get out. Come on, we got a group of young people that are on fire and love God and want to see God move and want to see their generation saved. And so they're going to go out and they're going to talk about the good news. But church family, you have an assignment too. What is that? Yes, to go out in your places, come on, but to intercede for these young people. So I'm going to call y'all down front to come and pray for them. Come and lay hands on them. Come and intercede for them. And our pastor is going to say a general prayer. But y'all come down front. Come on right now. Don't just sit in there, but it's time to look at it. Get up. Hey, come down and pray and intercede. Because God has an assignment. Come on, it's time we get serious about this. I talked about kingdom business. God has an assignment. Come down here, intercede, stand in the gap. I love y'all. Thank you, guys.
Praise the Lord. That was a great message. I don't know whether he's heard me preach it or not, but I got a message off of that call. Why do we sit here till we die? I was thinking of myself in younger days as he was preaching. But that's the one thing we got to realize. We can't just stay where we are and expect it to be different. We got to move. Look at this. These are our young people. This is our tomorrow, people. I want you to reach your hands out as I pray. And you pray your own prayer for these young people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these young people that are standing before me today. I thank you that you will guide, guard, and direct them this year in their life. Father, I pray for them academically. I pray for those that are in the music area. And the art. I pray for those that are in the athletics. I pray for their safety. I pray, Father, that each one will step into the place that they need to step. They'll be sensitive to your spirit and know when to speak and when just to listen. I thank you that as they go into this year, that you will guide them. You will protect them. You will keep them. And we pray the 91st Psalm over all of them. No harm shall come near them. I thank you for these students. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's already 20 minutes to 1 where I'm going to be to speak tonight, and they start at 6 o'clock, and we've got about a 2.5 hour flight, I think, or 2 hours and some odd minutes anyway. I'm going to that north door and going to shake hands with a few people. Oh. Hey. Put it on the screen. This car is blocking the entrance. Can you please move it immediately, please? Or it may get moved for you, and it may not be in good condition because it's blocking an entrance. Hallelujah. But I want you to pray for the LFC team. We're out there. We'll be in Stanton, Virginia tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. And we'll be in Delaware Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're going to sing a song. The staff is going to the doors to shake your hands. Right here, they're going to be here Wednesday night and tonight. So God bless. I'll see you next Sunday.